Welcome to the Gospel Rain Podcast, part of the teaching ministry of Dr. Matt Brown and Dr. Micah Carter. We're glad you've joined us today for gospel-centered conversations of two like-minded pastors who want to see the gospel of Christ reign in the hearts of God's people. We would love to hear your feedback and your questions. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/gospelrain or go to @gospelrain on Twitter. We hope you will find gospel-centered answers to your questions about theology and the Christian life. And now, we welcome you to the Gospel Rain Conversation.
Hi, welcome to Gospel Rain. I'm Matt, alongside Micah. We want to welcome you to our first podcast. I believe it's going to be a great beginning. Micah, since this is our first episode, I want to take a few minutes to introduce ourselves and then let everybody in on what Gospel Rain is and why we're here. And then we're going to answer a very important question today. The question is, what is the gospel and why does it matter? Why does it matter in my life personally and in my family, in my workplace, and in every other part of my life? Let me just get started with the introduction since I'm talking. Again, my name is Matt Brown. I'm married to Nikki. I've got four kids, Emily, Nason, Timothy, and Kelly. I'm a pastor at Gaston Baptist Church in Boonville, Mississippi. I'm a graduate of Blue Mountain College, which is a Baptist college in North Mississippi. I am a graduate of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and Mid-America Baptist Theological Seminary. Mike and I went to school together and then took different paths. You went one way, I went the other. And now you're back, though, in North Mississippi, and we've been able to reconnect and renew our friendship as sort of God has knit our hearts together and put us together for this new venture of a podcast. So, Mike, introduce yourself, and then we'll get into the conversation.
Thanks, Matt. That's right. Back in North Mississippi, I came back to pastor the First Baptist Church in Ripley, Mississippi, the hometown of my wife and actually her home church. Been married for 18 years to Meredith Roten from Ripley. We have two sons, Benjamin and Jonathan. And I went to Blue Mountain College, as you mentioned, and then I did my MDiv and doctoral work at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. And so prior to coming to Ripley, spent about 6 years at Lifeway Christian Resources in Nashville and loved it, and excited that God called me back into pastoral ministry and to shepherd folks through His Word.
Cool. About 2 or 3 years ago, God sort of put the desire in my heart to take advantage of some other ways to teach and make disciples as a pastor. So I started thinking about how I could use something like a podcast to answer questions. I listen to a lot of podcasts and maybe answer questions that a lot of church members often have about theology and just how to live as a Christian. And then recently, God sort of put us together in some of our own conversations as friends about these things and how we want to take some opportunities to make disciples. So, to make a long story short, here we are. It's our desire to have and give gospel-centered answers to questions that people have. So every week, that's what we're going to do. We're going to be asking our listeners to let us know what questions you have. So if you're a listener and you've got some questions about things, about theology, about the Christian life, and you want to ask those, post those on Gospel Rain Facebook page or on Twitter or on the Gospel Rain website.
Yeah, the website is gospelrain.com. And originally, some years ago, years back, I just wanted to create a personal blog where I could write about and think through some issues, how the gospel applies to life, marriage, work, a whole host of things. So when you and I started talking about how can we broaden some of this, and you were really developing the podcast idea, it fits so naturally together to be able to do that.
Right.
And so that's going to move from a personal blog to an actual space where we can interact with folks on these issues and promote the podcast and other things
good
through that website.
Well, that's who we are. That's what this is about. And so we're going to jump right on into it today with the first gospel conversation that we want to have. And here's the question, Mike, I'm going to pose it to you. What is the gospel and why does it matter to me?
It's probably the most important question I think we could ask today, any day, really. We've seen in our own subculture, evangelical subculture, that the gospel centrality movement has really taken off. Everybody's talking about gospel this and gospel that, and it's important to clarify and define what the gospel is. And so, you know, some people have approached it as a framework, and I'll set this up, and then we'll bring a definition to it, and then we'll some applications to it, if that's all right with you.
Yeah.
But frameworks, big frameworks, like, for example, Pastor Matt Chandler in Texas, he talks about the gospel on the ground and the gospel in the air. And these big frameworks that we talk about, like God, man, Christ response. That's on the ground. It's kind of how does the cross apply to me? Right. How does the work of Jesus apply to me? So God's character is at stake. Obviously, man fell into sin. Christ died on the cross, and it's my duty to believe and repent. Hmm. Gospel on the ground. Framework. So gospel in the air, bigger macro pictures that Chandler would say would be, how does my salvation, your salvation, connect to God's overall plan for the universe? I mean, how does this work? So creation, fall, reconciliation, and new creation or consummation. And I think that's a helpful umbrella under which the gospel on the ground is seen, but from a 30,000 foot view.
All right.
Now, those are frameworks, Matt. It's not necessarily the gospel itself, but it's a framework. Do you think that's a helpful way to get into thinking through that?
Yeah, I think it's a helpful way. I think that at least poses a little bit of, like you said, a framework for us to how to understand the gospel. The question then for us then becomes, what is it then? What's the substance of the gospel? That's more of a framework that you gave, but what's the substance of the gospel? And then how does that make a difference in my life? How does that make a difference in the common church member's life?
Right.
We come to church every Sunday. We're assuming we're going to hear the gospel preached. We're going to hear it taught in Sunday school. We talk about we hear that word gospel a lot from the pulpit, but what is that?
Right.
What does that even mean to me, and how is that? Why is that important to me as a church member? You know, the word gospel, sort of this idea that the word gospel is good news.
Yeah.
That it's that's sort of the what's behind the word gospel is good news. Mm-hmm. And if it is good news, if it is that, then it does matter. It has to matter to me. If there is substance to that word gospel, then it's going to have to matter for me.
Right.
And it's going to have to matter for the rest of the world. The gospel begins and ends with Christ. It ends, you know, as you talked about the creation and the fall and mm-hmm. the consummation later and those kind of things. If God did create us and there is a fall in the garden with Adam and Eve, then the Bible tells us that God it came to repair that the broken relationship between us and Him. That's the gospel. Mm-hmm. That's the beginning of the gospel message. And then the fact that Jesus came, He came to die on the cross to give forgiveness for sins. Therein lies the gospel. And if there's a consummation later, and that the only way to, as we say, the only way to heaven is through Jesus, then it has to be important for me. So from beginning to end, it's all about Christ and the gospel message. Message, it has substance, and it's going to have to matter for me.
So by definition, good news then implies bad news.
Exactly.
And the good news is, what has God done to overcome the bad news?
That's right.
And there's
a lot
of bad news.
I love how
you say that. So I've tinkered with a definition of the gospel that I put before my church, and we chewed on it for about 6 weeks as I broke down an acronym of gospel. But I started with this definition, and there are a lot of good definitions. In fact, I would encourage people to go to Trevin Wax's website, for example, his blog, where he's got gospel definitions, pages and pages and pages of gospel definitions by all kinds of famous people, more important than you and me. And but here's my attempt at it, and can we chew on it? Because I think it includes two big concepts that I think are helpful in defining the gospel. So I would say the gospel is the announcement of God's achievement of securing our salvation through the life, death, and resurrection of His Son and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm. That's a good definition. I like that. Explain it.
Well, the reason why it starts with announcement is because that's how it functions in the New Testament. They are proclaiming good news. They are preaching good news. In fact, the verb in the New Testament is, it's proclaiming good news. It's the gospel. And so news is meant to be shared. It's not meant to be kept to ourselves. It's meant to be displayed and told. And I think if we're going to talk about the gospel being good news, we're looking into the faces of millions of people around the world in a horrible situation of bad news wherever we find ourselves, that it's an announcement that God has done mm-hmm. something. So it's an announcement at its heart. But then the substance of it is that God has done something. Well, what has He done? He's achieved it. I mean, this is not, the gospel is not a willy-nilly, you know, I kind of hope this all works out
right,
in the end.
That's right.
I mean, God has, in the fullness of time, the Bible says, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law. So bad news is we can't keep the law, but God sent his son. Most famous verse in the Bible, God loved the world in this way, that he sent his one and only son. He gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So this is an achievement of God securing our salvation through, as you mentioned earlier, that the gospel begins and ends with Christ. It is his life, his death, his victorious resurrection that secures our salvation, and it's through his son and through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's kind of how I've worked at it, announcement and achievement.
I like that. I really do. And as far as that applies to me, myself, my own personal life and the lives of those in, say, in my congregation, those kind of things, why does that even matter then? Okay, if it is good news, and if we're talking about God's achievement of our salvation and then the announcement of that in the scripture, why does that matter then for my personal life? When I talk about, say, my family life, why does the gospel then matter in my family life? How would you answer that question? What does the gospel mean then on a personal level to you and your family?
So as I was preaching through this gospel acronym that is not, it's not unique to me. It came from David Platt and a pastor in Texas by the name of John Metter. And so it takes gospel, G-O-S-P-E-L, and breaks it down as God's character, the offense of sin, sufficiency of Christ, personal response, eternal urgency, and life transformation. And what I love about the flow of that is that it starts with God, but it kind of concludes with the gospel actually does something to you. Mm. Life transformation. So if Jesus Christ changed my heart, if I've known the forgiveness of sins through the gospel, and he's changed me. I've been transferred, as the scripture says, from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his son whom he loves. If something has changed, then it ought to affect the way I treat my wife.
That's right.
It ought to change the way I think about fathering my sons and handling my money and being an employer and an employee. All of those things have application. And really, the life transformation, the promise is that you and I, when we're saved, right, that we are indwelled with the Holy Spirit. And the fruit of the Holy Spirit, all of the things that the scripture tells us the Spirit would do, that working itself out through a life transformed by this good news is going to apply everywhere we find ourselves, in the grocery store, you know, driving down, someone cuts us off in traffic.
That's right.
it is going to apply.
Yeah.
And the Spirit's going to convict us and convince us of a life transformation that issues itself into love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and all the rest.
Well, I think these are applications to us. I think, though, too, we need to answer the question, what is the proper response to the gospel? Mm. We talk about the application in my life and how it does matter to me in my workplace, in the way that I respond to other people, the way that I have opportunity to influence other people, my conversations with other people, the way that I treat my family, things that you talked about. But what is the proper response to the gospel? We're supposed to be, as Christians, sharing this good news, sharing the gospel, which is the meaning of that word gospel. If we're supposed to be sharing this good news with other people, what is then the response that we should hope for or expect in other people? It's my responsibility to be an evangelist, to go and share the gospel, share the good news with other people. As you said, it is, if that's what it is good news, it's intended to be shared. So if I'm going to share this gospel with other people on the street or in my workplace with my family, with those who are lost, what is the response that I'm hoping to see from other people? What is it that we expect, and how did I respond, or how did you respond to the gospel when you heard it?
Great, great question. It's something that I said also in preaching through this emphasis on gospel is, as good news, the gospel is not about information, it's an invitation.
Oh, that's good. I like
and
that.
And so, in other words, we are heralds of information, that right. There is a God, you have sinned, he sent his son. That is information, no doubt. But what do you do with that information? I think that's what...
Right.
And so, gospel, if this is the gospel of God, as the scripture defines it, this is God's gospel, that he sent his son, and it's the gospel of the kingdom, that he came to make all things new, and also that the king is now issuing a summons. And so to quote that hymn that we sing oftentimes in churches, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Right.
So there is a belief. You have to trust in that information, but obey the summons that's been given through it.
Right.
So faith and repentance and coming to this. And after all, the gospel is, as Romans 1:16 says, the gospel is the power of God for salvation to those who believe. And that's why we announce it with gladness and joy,
right?
Because it is power for salvation.
That's right. We're expecting people to respond to the gospel.
That's right.
We pray that people will respond because it's an invitation for people to understand that God has proclaimed to us the restoration of creation. Mm-hmm. That He created everything and it was good, and He created man in His image. Put the image of God, breathed life and the image of God into man. And then when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, that image is marred. It's not destroyed, it's not gone, but that image of God in us is marred. That's the bad news. Then we're announcing as ministers of the gospel, as Christians, we're announcing the good news to people, and we're expecting them to respond to that good news that God has restored.
That's
that
right.
God has sent His Son, which is what you talked about in the announcement of this good news and what He has done to achieve all of it. The gospel, really, when we get down to it, the gospel and our response to it and those kind of things, this is all God's working.
Mm-hmm.
God has done all of this. God created, God rescues, God restores, God will in the end consummate all of this according to His plan. Mm. And so this then becomes our responsibility as Christians to announce this news to the rest of the world and expect and hope and pray for the response from other people in faith and repentance.
No, that's right. And the stakes are high, aren't they?
That's right.
The stakes are incredibly high. I think there's... You know, we act as if the gospel is just kind of take it or leave it and, you know, it's all on you and everything. And there is a sense in which we personally respond with faith and repentance.
Right.
But there, I'm struck by the scripture that also presents this as obedience to the summon. Here's what I mean by that.
Yeah.
1 John, for example, 1 John 3:23, John tells us that it is the command of God that we believe in His Son. So if God has put His Son forward as the only means by which everything you described in terms of reconciliation and final, you know, consummation of all things is tied specifically to His Son, the Lord Jesus.
That's right.
Then there is no other command by which anything makes sense that God would do and hold us to except through His Son. So John says that. And then I'm struck by both Paul and Peter who say that what Peter makes it a question, what will be the end of those that do not obey the gospel of God?
Hmm.
And that, you know, if we obey disobey, the punishment is coming for those who do not obey the gospel. And so it is an announcement and we are given it fully. But I think for you and me on a street level and for all the people in our pews, the confidence that we ought to have, not that we're kind of ashamed and we're not really sure how to describe it and everything,
right,
but we have marching orders from King Jesus on the authority of His Father, I'm talking about a great commission,
that's right,
to make disciples. And this gospel begins with trusting Him and obeying everything that God said would please Him and honor Him in following Him in the gospel.
Well, I think what... sort of the idea here is that for us, as we talk about the gospel and then apply it to the lives of our listeners, we just want to make sure that people understand that the gospel has real substance and it is meaningful. Not
right.
That it is as meaningful as something else. It means more than anything else.
Right.
This is the story, the proclamation. This is the substance of God's plan altogether. And as we said earlier, if there is a gospel, then that gospel has to matter.
That's right.
And it has to matter to me personally. It has to matter in my own personal life and the way that I make decisions. If Christ has saved me through the gospel, the planting of the seed of the Word of God in my heart, God has brought it to fruition in me, those kind of things. If that's the case, then that's going to matter in the way I talk, the way I behave, the way I act around my family, at work, in traffic, those other, you know, all these other places, the gospel's going to matter the way I live, because I'm living not for myself. I'm living for the one who died for me.
Right.
And it is my, it's my responsibility now to live for him, not for myself. Yeah. Live in the way that matters to him.
Yes.
So this is a good conversation about the gospel to get us started with our sort of our first podcast.
I've really enjoyed this conversation about the gospel. And, you know, for me, it's been now more than 23 years that that I've been walking in obedience to the gospel, and by God's grace, we'll finish strong to the end, you know? I know you share the same
thing.
All right, so with our podcast, we'd like to do a final segment called One More Thing, where we take a minute to mention just one more thing that we'd like our listeners to know, mainly from a personal level that we can interact with them. And so I'm wondering, Matt, what's one more thing you'd like our listeners to know?
Yeah, dude, I'll just tell you, this week, my wife and I became, or my family became, a three-car family. We just purchased a vehicle for my teenage daughter. She just turned 16 back in the summer, and we've been waiting to sort of get her a vehicle that she might want. We got her a used car, got it from a guy in Memphis. Anyway, that's been a neat experience for us, especially for my daughter. Now, my daughter's she's a great kid. Emily is responsible. She's learning more responsible. Anyway, so it's one of those times in your life where you think as a parent that'll never get here. That time will never get here when you're going to have to buy that third car. But it finally got here. And, you know, we always used to hear people say all the time, cherish every moment because it's going to fly by. Well, Nikki and I have always talked about that, and we've tried to do that, just really cherish the moments, but it still flies. It doesn't matter if you're cherishing it or not. So anyway, so this week we've sort of become the three-car family that people that we see, you have four and five cars, and we just think, why would you have that many cars? But then you have to, you know.
You have to.
And so it's going to be a big help for us, and we're proud for our daughter. She this is a big weekend for her, and we're excited for her.
Which is also why you're working third shift at McDonald's to pay for the
flipping burgers, man.
Burgers, man.
I got to do something. But no, that's my one more thing. What about you?
An exciting thing. I'm not quite to that point with my sons, but it's coming close. But I would say one more thing I'd like our listeners to know is I just recently ran my third half marathon.
Dude,
now, listen, I'm not a runner.
Awesome.
I've got short legs. It's kind of like Barney Rubble syndrome. I don't enjoy running at all. But I ran the St. Jude half marathon in Memphis, and our listeners can't see this, but I'm standing right now like an idiot because my legs still hurt from
So you ran that with your wife, Meredith?
Ran it with Meredith. We ran all 13.1 miles together, crossed the finish line hand in hand, same time.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
It was a rich experience. Had about a dozen folks from my church running in it, and it was a wonderful experience, and I might do it again.
Would you really?
Yeah, might do it again.
Dude. That's punishment, man. That's willing punishment.
That's right.
You're better than I am.
Well, we want to thank you for listening to the Gospel Rain podcast today. We hope you'll be back with us next time. We're going to be talking about a subject that many Christians struggle with, and I know you and I have so many folks coming to us about this topic, and that topic is the assurance of salvation. Can a person really know that he or she is saved? Next time on Gospel Rain.
Thank you for joining us for the Gospel Rain podcast. We hope you've been encouraged today, and we pray the gospel will reign in your life this week. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter, or check out our website at gospelrain.com.